Hello, thank you for joining me. This is Ernestine Lyons, host of Quick to Politic, the podcast, the social commentary show that explores topics ranging from social justice to history, economics, small business, and of course, local and national politics. Thank you for joining me. Everybody, the podcast is back. I know I have been on a little hiatus, but we are back with Quick to Politic, the social commentary podcast. And as some of you may know from following my YouTube channel and all that fun stuff, I have gone a little tech crazy with the emergence of artificial intelligence. Tech is center focus in our lives more than ever. And so I have a very special guest. Johnny Turnage is going to be here talking with me today. So, Johnny, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, man. Thank you for having me. Well, I'm Johnny. I'm from Detroit. I'm a tech founder of a company called EvenScore, which is an impact-focused marketplace set of tools to help people use their voice, connect with others, and build community around their cause. And I'm also the creator of something called Black Tech Saturdays, which is... Do you want me to run down all of that right now?
Oh my gosh. I just want to interject and say Black Tech Saturdays is amazing. And I am eternally grateful to Johnny for introducing me to Black Tech Saturdays because it is lit. It is a vibe. It is all the things. And so, yes. Tell us all about, you know, that and keep running down the list of everything that you and your lovely wife, Alexa, who is my beauty guru, my beauty muse. So, yes. Tell us.
Yeah. Well, one, I'll say Alexa is my co-founder in all things life. She's my co-founder for EvenScore, of course, co-creator for Black Tech Saturdays, and my wife and partner and just everything. Black Tech Saturdays is really like an infusion of where tech meets community organizing and really trying to create a space for us to see ourselves in tech. I have this like saying that I like learned back when I was a community organizer. You can't dream of what you haven't seen. And a part of what I notice when I look around the country at their tech ecosystems and what I see in Detroit, there is no space for Black people to see themselves in tech. And on your journey of going to become yourself, we have heroes, we have role models, we have people that we strive to be. If there's no one at home you can strive to be, you can go learn from, how can you get there? And as I see like this huge opportunity for Detroit to be this like, the next great tech hub. I'm going to keep saying it until it happens. I see that as an opportunity for a Black tech renaissance, for us to envision ourselves in tech and go up with it. And as we go up, the whole ecosystem goes up, because there is something that's, I think, just inherent to just Black people, to our culture, and really just to Detroit. We give back. We always give back. And as I see this, I'm like, when we create a space where we're naturally giving and we're not in competition and we move out of abundance, that is how we move forward. So Black Tech Saturdays is me taking a stab at leading by example, sharing what I have. And then my journey was hard trying to figure out tech. And even as I grow every day, I've gotten to this mindset that I should not be waiting until I get to where I'm going to start saying, here's how I did it. Because people who helped me early on, they didn't wait till they're like, all right, I'm a billionaire now. Now I'm going to share. They're like, here are my investor conversations. Here are some of how I did it. Here are the pitch competitions I went to. Here are the trip conferences I went. And I'm like, we need to do that. And then just help each other with like that resources. And I've said it a couple times, but my background is in community organizing. I got started when I was 12, volunteering. And at 14, I was like leading Get Out the Vote teams in Obama's election. And just like helping get out the vote, grew up in the role in nonprofit. Then I jumped into some political organizing and labor organizing, but everything comes around to, I know that when we bring people together, we can do a lot. And right. I've had to bring people together in different spaces, different states around the country, and under very interesting circumstances. I'm like, what's not happening in the tech ecosystem, not only in Detroit, but around the country, is we are not being brought together with that mindset of lift as you climb, act in abundance, and share in a way that it doesn't matter who gets there first. It's just one of us has to get there so we can help the others. And that has to be how we do it.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. I love like everything about that. And it's just like you really do have to have like this each one teach one. And it has to be about this, the spirit of collaboration. I love that you come from community organizing. I don't know, if for some reason I'm just like, oh, okay, you just like you got a background in coding, you got a background in this and that. And it's like, I think that it's sometimes people kind of want to break into tech, but they don't know where to start. And you can definitely not necessarily be from that computer, programming background, but I think that those voices are needed at the table. So yeah, that's amazing. Community organizing since you were 12. Right.
Look, that's when I started like leaning into the bug, but it goes further back. My grandfather was a community organizer. So I'm like, the mindset that we have, it's instilled so deep where I'm like, I will be honest. We did not have any money. We were very poor, like bean soup all week kind of poor, but we still gave so much. I'm like, how are we giving? We don't actually have anything.
But
And
that's
I'm
who
like,
gives the,
sometimes it be
honestly, that's
confusing.
who gives the most, honestly. It's like
Exactly.
those are the leaders, the community leaders are the ones who are like, okay, nobody has it. We about to share. We're about to, and I was just about to ask, I'm like, which adult was dragging you to all of these community things? And just like, so that's
Look,
beautiful. That's beautiful. So.
grandfather, mother, I was a little kid who was sometimes tasked at the community meetings with holding the doors and walking women to the car, and I'd be like, I am five. I'm terrified of the dark. Why are you sending me to the car? And I was like, I guess that's what I have to do. That's my role today. Everybody has a role. But when everyone has a role in a community and you're looking out, I'm like, you can step into that. You can grow into that. If I have a role, I can see myself in the next role and I know how to move. And I'm like, a lot of times you do have to put people on a development ladder. And in community organizing, like you start developing people from like one to 10 all the time. And I'm like, that's labor, that's community, that's political. And I'm like, it's the ladder of engagement. If we do that with tech, we can move somebody from I'm trying to figure out how where I am in tech to I have an idea to I'm developing product to I'm starting a company to maybe I'm getting a job, I'm breaking into this space, or I'm at work, I have a really good idea. How do I pitch it to my boss and say, I think I could change this? All the greatest innovations that happen at our favorite big companies actually came from somebody who had a good idea. Think of Apple with the iPad, the little gosh.
The
Oof, I'm thinking of what was the
iPod.
iPod? There we
Yes,
go.
yes. And honestly, so Steve Jobs, everybody like, oh, he's a tech whiz, he's a genius. No, he actually had
He
no
was a
technical
visionary.
experience. He was
Just a
into
visionary.
topography and design, and he dropped out of all of those design classes, but he wasn't
Look.
like a tech person.
Right. Him. I met, there's a man. He is a principal engineer at Amazon, black man, Brian Campbell. He's here in Detroit. One, this man is literally the black Iron Man. Him and his daughter are building a car from
Oh,
scratch over the summer.
awesome.
But he developed some of the Google ad stuff. That's like making them billions. He's like, oh yeah, I made that. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, when I worked at Google. And I think of him, I'm like, he DPS graduated Detroit Public Schools, MSU grad. And I'm like, here's a black man in our community who's done amazing things. And I'm like, we need to see people like him. So we say, oh, I can do that. I don't have to be the greatest student. I don't have to be the greatest this, but I have a dream and I'm willing to work. And I'm like, we have to make that plug in so you can figure out where's my point of engagement? How can I grow? Who are my mentors?
There
And
we
we
go.
become that.
That is the magic word, point of engagement, because the guest speaker at the last Black Tech Saturdays actually brought up a point that there was a person that he knew who was one of the richest people in the Forbes Fortune 500. They weren't a rapper, and but it's like they weren't visible. And he was just like, why don't you engage with the community more? And he's like, I didn't want to make it political. It doesn't, it's not about political. Even though this is a political podcast, it's really more about community engagement. It's about visibility. Those points of contact, they show you what's possible. And if you don't see examples of, the person who is, on the board of IBM who makes more than, Lil Wayne or, I don't know. I'm dating myself right now by saying Lil Wayne is a rapper, when I should be talking about, I don't know, even Migos, if I say that, then I was like, they're not even like whoever is hot right now.
We'll toss out a couple foot.
Right. Toss out like, okay, Jizzy, whoever is the popular rapper right now. Because because I'm a millennial, elder
Lil
millennial.
Nas X, Lil Baby,
There
come
we
on,
go.
come
There
on.
we go. Those sound like some names
Juice
that young
WRLD.
people listen to.
Ooh, actually, I've been listening to Caleb Gordon. He's got this song, Rewrite History, that has me like, it literally goes, rewrite, we, the words are, we are about to rewrite the family history. We're going up like the Statue of Liberty. And I'm like, in terms of like my like call for the summer, I'm like, we are on a mission to change this. And I'm like, it's not just about us. There's a generational impact of imagine the young people seeing themselves in tech. Whatever they see now, they will build faster and further because their minds are so much, they're developing faster than ours. My younger brother, he was one playing on the computer, typing and doing things. And I'm like, now he is a whiz, far smarter than me, all these cool things. And I'm like, he just touches something and it's easy to him. They learn faster.
Because technology
So,
is integrated into everything that they do. And
yes.
like, I just feel like I remember growing up with like dial-up internet, and you know, it's just
Right.
like all of those kind of things where it's like this, it's easy for us to, you know, just integrate these kind of things into our lives. And so I know like later today we're going to talk about the digital divide. But you know, it just really kind of brings it all back to like why these points of contacts are needed and why we need to have these
Yes.
conversations around just getting people acclimated to, you know, what is possible, what is out there, because we already have it at our fingertips. It's already integrated into our lives. It's second nature at this point that we use these devices and this technology all the time, but yet let's use it to for the betterment of like society. Let's use that for, you know,
Exactly.
to create movements. And I think that, you know, Gen Z and all of the generations that are like, you know, younger than myself here are definitely on the cutting edge. And Jenny, what year were you born? I hate to ask people, how old are you?
I am 29. I was born in 93. I'm one of
Okay.
those people that flirts with like the cusp of, I'm
Cusp
still a
of.
millennial, but I'm on the cusp of that, like, interesting. Because Gen Z, are they 95s or 96s?
97. 97 is
Okay.
the beginning of Gen Z. So anybody born after 97, and
We're
Gen,
like
like
full
Gen
Gen Z.
Z to millennial ends at just about that time. So.
Yeah, you, I guess. I've been through so many of these generational workshops, and like there was one where
Great.
like I feel like they introduced a new term and they're like the cuspers, and I'm like the people who are on the front three or the back three, and I'm like, because you do end up with these interesting traits, but I'm like, whenever we look at the generations like and how they perform, I'm like, it also has a lot to do with like economics and class and what you were exposed to, and that brings us back to I'm like, when you expose the next generation to new things. Like how they react is based on their concept of what's available. All of Gen Z's like worldviews are them basically rationalizing what they will and won't be able to do. So if we let people like rationalize, yo, you could change the world, you could solve all the problems, and here is how you start to focus that and use tools to do it. Like it's about scalability, not like what's possible. And tech lets you scale to say, well, I could do a million things at once if I figure out the tech to do it, because that's how it works. I'm like, it lets us like open our imaginations to say, what are we going to do about this climate? Climate justice is huge right now. Like,
And I think that, you know, it becomes this thing where nobody, because you feel like you are limitless, you feel like you've never been introduced to the why you can't do something, then you have like a, you know, limitless, you know, I don't know, just like a world of possibilities out there, like things you can do
Yes.
and things that you can use tech to tackle these, you know, issues with. And whereas like somebody else might be like, oh, well, we've tried to solve climate change, but it's just like, oh, we're innovating. Actually, I work with a lot of tech entrepreneurs, and one of them is a, you know, just kind of water filtration technology that allows for like this nanotechnology to create clean water and to, you know, kind of help fix problems like the Flint water crisis and things of that nature. And it's like, you know, people are not going to be limited to how they can just kind of solve this problem. It's just like, here's the problem, here's how I'm going to fix it. And this is honestly the way that, you know, artificial intelligence, it thinks about it in terms of statistics and how I can do it, and here are the tools, and it's straightforward.
Right.
There isn't going to be no, you know, any type of like, well, they did it this way before, and you know, you've got the, you know, I can't solve gun violence because you've got the lobby of the NRA, and they're not gonna. And it's like, no, I think that folks with technology and a bright path forward and like innovative ideas are just going to be like, here are the facts, here's the problem, this is how we fix it. And it's like, it's like, why is this hard for everybody else? And
Right.
when you think about it, it makes sense.
Yeah. What you're saying, like what you just said there, I think is the magic that we have to remember. It's about solving a problem. When we really lean into it, I'm like the innovators, the creators, you're solving a problem. And when you're passionate about solving a problem, there is something that's driving you to do it. And when we give these people the space to do that, the reality to like run at that, they make the world better for everybody. And that's what we have to remember about tech and the importance of why everyone needs to see themselves in tech. Think about it. If we in Detroit, if Black people don't see themselves in tech, there then are a lot of Black people with specific life experiences with problems who have expertise no one else understands who are never going to be allowed the opportunity to solve that problem. So the things we deal with as Detroiters, they're not going to be actively fixed because we don't ever have a seat in the table and anyone who's doing it, they're coming out. Or when someone steps up and says they're going to do it, they don't get the community support rallying around them trying to solve that problem. You can only go as far as the support you have, your runway. I'm like, in order for all of that, you need the city saying, you know what? Ernestine has actually said she can figure out this climate change. What do we need to do to help her do that? And when we embrace that mentality of, I'm rooting for you to figure this out, so I'm gonna give you every person I can. And I'm like, whether I have $5 or two people for you to talk to, I'm going to give it. Because the best I can do is give you everything you need to keep running at it. And I'm like, we
Right.
got to get back to embracing the ability. I'm like, we have to dream. That's how we got here. How did cars
Right.
get here? I'm like, somebody dreamed it up. Dream it up. Let the dreamers dream. But we as Black people in tech have to dream up. What does the future look like? How does Detroit actually serve us in a way where I'm like, we can grow? Think about all the neighborhoods, like community development. I'm like, there are housing issues, people who live in blighted neighborhoods who could have simple solves because they see it every day.
Oh, yeah.
When
And
they
they
see the
know that
problem, they
this is all it's
obsess
going
over
to
it. They
take.
know.
Right. The people closest to the
Exactly.
problems are usually the ones with the solutions for them. So, and
Yes.
you hit on something that was like, it's like really, really like I think essential to
Essential.
this is, you know, really, you know, it's just like, okay, you have this problem, and I think that tech is really good at it. Like, and when you think about like how a startup founder is, you know, they're raising funding, they're, you know, they're pitching their ideas to venture capitalists. They're raising Series A or Series B, and you know, they have a minimum viable product, and then they raise this series of, you know, funds, and then they're able to go out and do all the things they said they were going to do. Nobody is telling them no, and everybody on the team is rallying around. We said we were going to come up with this, you know, type of, you know, I'm going to use like a terrible example of like Elizabeth Holmes and, you know, her Theranos company. But, you know, I think that sometimes it's easy for a company like that to like rally someone behind it because so many tech companies don't actually generate revenue, and, you know, they just have an idea and everybody comes around it. And then for the most part, and this is why I hated to use the example of her, people deliver, you know, companies deliver. Like all of the Y Combinator companies, the top five, the top 10 are, you know, companies like DoorDash, Instacart. And, you know, these are companies who came up with something that's revolutionary. Like, I'm gonna go get your groceries for you. You just put it in an app and then I'll bring it to your front door. And it's like, you know, investors were like, I've never heard of anything like that, you know, but I'll give you $1 million. And so then the whole team puts their collective support, their brain power into making it happen. And I think that's something that's very singular about the tech industry. It's a very fast turnaround, and people are making like amazing, groundbreaking things happening. They're disrupting industries. And this is why, you know, lean startups are able to get to these billion-dollar valuations because they're doing things that nobody's ever heard of, and they're doing it quickly. And nobody is telling them, like, well, our appropriation commission needs to show proof that you were able to do this, and you need to have 5 years of, you know, the fact that you were ever. And it's like, no. I work in politics and it is brutal. Like, or at least, okay, you know, for those of you who are listening who maybe I'm a former elected official and ran for, you know, a couple of public offices. And it can be very, you know, if the, you know, You're introducing a bill. It can die in the House because, nobody's going to rally behind it. You introduce a gun violence bill and, whatever the party in power, they might try to argue against it because of their own political interests or self-interest or some NRA lobby, or they may, not understand it fully. And so therefore it's just like, they're going to say, oh, well, I don't want to support this because she's introducing it. And it's like,
Introducing it.
you mentioned that folks are needing to get behind whoever the innovators are, whoever the disruptors are. And that is something that tech is able to move as fast as it is because you don't have a bunch of people saying, well, this has to go through appropriations. This has to go through, this has to go to be debated on the floor in the Senate. It has to be filibustered to death. It has to be, we have to have a resolution. And then, somebody has to make the motion for all of the, and so like all of these things that you have to go through and, all of this red tape and politics, it really slows down the creative process. And
Yes.
I think that we have to start integrating, these public sector, I'm sorry, private sector kind of modalities of thought into the way that we solve problems that are going to affect us all, like climate change, gun violence, and just being better financially and, community development issues, housing, blight. Those are problems that can be solved by innovators and disruptors. I just think that we just got to get behind them, like you said, put in all of the money and start a Kickstarter if you got somebody out here with a solution for all of the blight in the community, and they're going to use technology to figure out how to do it. So yeah, but I do want to shift gears a little bit, and I know you talked about Black Tech Saturdays and even Score. I want to talk a little bit about artificial intelligence and, your thoughts on, just how this technology is. And then honestly, like to all of y'all listening, Johnny and I connected because I wanted to explore one, who are the Black voices in tech in Metro Detroit, in Detroit, in Michigan? And two, with the rise of artificial intelligence, the way that, everybody's saying it's gonna like replace jobs and it's gonna, put the creatives out of work, which was a big theme of last Saturday's, Black Tech Saturday meeting, is, just how the studios are replacing writers, and there's a writer strike that's happening right now. But so we connected because I do fear that as this AI revolution takes hold, people who are victims of the digital divide and the digital, blah, I can't talk, digital divide, where you essentially, there are folks who don't always have access to broadband internet. They don't always have access to a computer. There's no computer in the home. There's no, laptop. People are maybe using, a smartphone, or like, and that's their main way to access the internet. And so, there are folks who are already being left behind. And then you introduce something that's going to take away, all of the jobs potentially. And because, Chat GPT and things like that, they can easily, take over all
Well,
jobs. So yeah, just your thoughts. So I want to hear all about, let's talk all about the artificial intelligence.
So I think the start point right there is when it comes to bridging the digital divide, in my like wildest dreams, that's one of the reasons that I think Black Tech Saturdays is an amazing vehicle, not only for Detroit, but as we look at like other cities, we already have this like, we've had about 20 cities reach out to talk about doing a Black Tech Saturdays, and we go, this is a super cool space to have that intersection conversation with the policymakers, with the innovators, and with the community around like, what is the future for tech? What is the vision for tech in this community? And how can it work? Because we do have to figure out how we're doing the work to not leave so many people behind. Because then we get to a place where I'm like, if innovation is cutting people out, we're not having the kind of impact we can have, which means we have to refigure out how we scale. It should never be. We should never be satisfied with less than 100. If we're not looking at 100% of us getting there, we're not doing our best to solve the problem. You don't set out to solve a problem and you're satisfied with 75%. If that's the success metric, we're never satisfied with that. We keep pushing. When it comes to like AI, I guess I have two hats. One, as a founder, I will sit here and admit It has definitely allowed me to save time in different projects.
Yes. I
And it is even,
honestly love ChatGPT.
look, ChatGPT, but and like what I love is I'm like to save time, but also to teach myself, to very quickly teach myself. I've been able to say, here's a writing style I want to try out and edit my this. Let me see what I need to do to write it that style. Let me see what this looks like to force this creative energy and challenge myself. And the more I played with it, the one thing that I will admit, no matter what AI can do, it can never replace the very authentic nature that comes from being a genuine person.
The
And so we,
creativity, like the ability of
yes.
humans to just like, oh, let me improvise, let me, you
Right.
know, just do something that's like off the cuff and create,
Yes.
ideate.
Right. Ooh, like side note, did you see The Last Guardians of the Galaxy?
No, I hear it's 3 hours long, but I haven't seen it yet.
Oh man, okay. I didn't want to ruin it, but there's a part where I'm like a part of the big fight without ruining the movie. The main villain actually is obsessed over one of the Guardians of the Galaxy because he created, the raccoon robot.
Oh, that's right. Like
That
the rocket.
raccoon,
And he's the black guy with
Rocket.
the, like, you know, he's almost like a Black Nebula where he's got the robot like parts and everything interchanged.
Exactly. And I'm like, the most interesting thing is he obsessed over Rocket because of everything that he created. Rocket was the first thing to create original thought. And he couldn't comprehend this, which like gets into this deeper part where I'm like, when Rocket started to wonder like about his own humanity and value, the very fact that Rocket had an innate culture and emotional expression ability made him innovate, made him create. The power of culture and emotional expression is one thing I'm like, people of color have a strong tie and a strong bond to. And I'm like, as we look at the bridging the digital divide conversation, it's a lot of our communities that are like being left out of the conversation. So we have a lot of work to bring them in. But the superpower that we have as we try to combat that is we have culture and emotional expression that allows us to create and innovate because we literally know how to get lemonade from a rock sometimes. Like we've been in those situations
Right.
and
Where
that's
it's
just
like you
like at
have
our
nothing.
core.
Right.
Look, we starting, this is it. And I'm like, as we talk about this AI conversation, I'm like, I take it as a challenge to like, all right, one, how do we teach as many people? I literally started with my family members. I'm like, here are the prompts I started using. Here's how I test it. I mess with them. I send them emails and texts from ChatGPT and I tell them it's that. And I'm like, message me something back. And I'm like, we make it a game as a family. So I'm like, I have to do my part. So that way in a few years, I'm not like, oh man, my parent, my in-laws, my mother, I'm like, as they get up there, I'm like, we have to make sure that they're in these conversations too. And then also making sure I'm like, is my brother playing with us? Are they getting it? Because I'm like, this could help save you some time and let me teach you how to use it. But then we also have to like get outside of that, make it normal that we talk about it. I love that we brought it up because if we're not talking about it, we're not thinking about it, and then we're left out. And I'm like, that has
Exactly,
a lot of,
exactly.
think about it. When we aren't like involved in something as a community, I'm like, we just get that gap. So we have to make it. And then think about how cool we get with it. Think about how our creators will create with AI differently, like, and make them more efficient. I met so many like Black and Brown writers who are using AI to do that. That's how I learned that writing habit. But I'm like, oh, they use it to test them and stretch their writing ability. How do you like challenge yourself and like see it? And I'm like, you create that story. If somebody told me to go write a story from nothing, I probably could. Can ChatGPT? It can't. And I'm like, that is the actual thing. It needs the prompt. It'll just come up with whatever random thing. And I'm like, we can do that, but it actually means something. Some of the crazy things that you'll get out of there when you just ask it to make, they're like, I can't. I have the number of times I'm like, oh, it's got its limit. I'm like, oh, all right, then I know how to do this. But I've also learned to like take my idea and I'm like, organize it. Use ChatGPT to help you flow and spare you some time on the back end. So,
Right. To get the, it's
organize.
like if you
And
have writer's block, it'll be a good, you know, thing to kind of get you started, but it's really going to take you and your creativity, and it even takes your human ingenuity to even prompt engineer. Prompt engineering is something that, you know, if because if you just ask ChatGPT a basic question, and I'm going to link in a video that I had that kind of like a prompt engineering 101 class that I taught, and it's all about like, you know, you can ask more sophisticated questions, and then you know, you're then talking to it with this sophistication, and it gets you this level of, okay, I understand, and it's going to give you more details as opposed to just asking it, basic things that you may start to run into, generic results or repetitive results.
Exactly. And that's the piece. I say I played with my family, but actually, not to connect everything back to Black Tech Saturdays, when we first started with Black Tech Saturdays and we were just meeting, working on our projects and chatting in this early on, a lot of those first couple of weeks in March before it was public, I was actually sharing with other founders how I prompted to support founder specific things. And I'm like, I
Nice.
remember a founder where she's just like, I've never seen someone do that. The way you prompt it to get your result. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know everyone wasn't using it. I was like, this is the only way
Right.
it made sense. And so I
Exactly.
was like, oh, well, let me just show you a couple of things and I'm going to give you some prompts that I just use. Because I'm like, I'll, at the start of a conversation, I might tell ChatGPT, I'm like, this is the story narrative I want all of my responses to be in. I want you to give me this. And I would send it that same message. I'm like, I want you to write it like this. So if I write it and it's not the flow, then you evaluate me based on this metric. And I'm like, she's like, what? And I was like, yeah, it really helps with grant applications because then I'm like, it already has preloaded information on my company, my view. And now I'm reading that to go, all right, is this what I wanted? Because, I'm good for high level ideas. Sometimes I'm like, does it all string together? Is it there? Is this at that level? And I'm like, you can use it to be that kind of productivity hack, but we have that responsibility of when you figure it out, just share it with someone else. Because
Oh
then
yeah.
they can do it. And I'm like, next thing you know, they'll come back to you and say, I did what you did, and then I tried this. And now you're like, great. Now we're both 2 steps ahead because you know what I know. And I'm like, sometimes we just see things differently. And I don't, because you see the world differently than I do, I'm missing your whole lens. But if we can lay our lens on top of each other and use technology and even leverage AI to do that, I'm like, we can all grow further. Because in this world, like, there is a learning gap in every industry. Like, we are always trying to catch up with what the latest. And I'm like, AI becomes our way to kind of fold that time on itself. Instead of 2 years of learning, how do you do this quicker with community, using tools, sharing that knowledge? And that's just kind of like the mantra for Black Tech Saturdays. I'm like, statistically, if we give us all a place to see this, Ernestine's going to come in here and either get hired by a tech company, find exactly what she wants, figure out an app idea, meet her co-founding team. In a couple of years, we could be back here and go, so how did you raise $1 million for your startup? Well, because I was in this network of Black Tech Saturdays and an angel investor came, and I'm
Right.
like, I want to see those stories happen out of Detroit. And a part of me is just like, when I'm this driven, I'm calling all my friends like, hey, wouldn't it be great if you came in town? And we've had people come from all over the country just to stop in and visit. Because I'm like, well, chances are when you meet the kind of founders working on things you're interested in, I could give a founder an opportunity that could like really help them. And that's like that ripple effect of share the knowledge, share the resources, and we grow it. And that's how we kind of combat it. And look, one of us is going to figure out a way to like scale out like AI trainings for our community. Like, how are we thinking about that? How are we thinking of mass community education to help them with this prompt engineering process to maximize the tools?
Exactly. And I'm just everything comes back to Black Tech Saturdays. And I mean, I just feel like it's full circle. And it's a beautiful thing because that's it's really important to, I just think that just segueing a little bit into career advice, it's important to network. And networking is something that is very valuable because if you don't necessarily, if I can't give, my friend, this information, then I'm going to refer her to, my other acquaintance or my former coworker or, this person I used to work for who, is, more knowledgeable. And so it's just like you gain so much from that. And I think that it really means something to have someone that you just in person meet. And you had a conversation, a sidebar conversation, and you had a meaningful connection with somebody where you got to know a little bit about their kids, you got to know a little bit about their hobbies. And, it wasn't something that was, and I think that coming out of the pandemic, when we're just in Zoom boxes all the time, things got a little bit more personally. I think that things got like more anxious, more structured, and
You didn't trust each other.
the closeness was taken away where it's like you can't just be informal. You have to be very, Let's stick to the agenda
intentional.
because we can't overlap. We can't, sidebar.
Right.
Yes. And so
Yeah.
you need that serendipity. You need those moments of, ability to just kind of riff or joke or, so I don't know. I think that's really why Black Tech Saturdays is so valuable, that in-person collaboration.
And I just want to add what you just described there, though, that's deeper than networking. Networking is actually that very quick transactional process. What you're describing is relationship building, like to actually hear someone else's story. And I'm not just saying, Ernestine, here's all the stuff I'm doing. I'm like, what are you doing? What do you need? The number of times that I have learned on my own journey by simply asking, what do you need? How much further that has propelled me. By giving, I have received so much more. You only give in this like back and forth thing when you're in a relationship, because I know what you need and you know what I need, and we can get each other there. And because you know that, that's it. Our greatest successes come from people we were in relationship with who are rooting for us and pulling us forward, getting us in rooms, inviting us to things. And I'm like, we pay that back. Like, hey, here's this person. People send me people all the time. I send it to them. And I'm like, the magic that you described, though, I just have to say, that's relationship building. And I actually want to, I hate the term networking. Like, I believe we have to get into like that. Culturally, that's what we do. And when we all learn how to relationship build and we can do it comfortably, that's what will propel us. Even outside of Black Tech Saturdays, and we think of it, it's like, that's not the only network you have to be in. You have to first learn how to relate, build relationships, maintain them, and utilize it. But the people we bring to Black Tech Saturdays have the networks to get you in the connections in other circles where you don't have to enter the room a stranger because you have relationships. And it goes deeper than I know you. It's like Ernestine saying, hey, I know the political circle. You know what? Arabia from Pogo, I'm going to bring you down to the county commission and introduce you to two people who could actually use your company because you have a relationship. And I'm like, that's something that as an ecosystem, as a community, it means us moving from this place of scarcity to abundance. And like, that's that magic of the relationships of, look, I want you to succeed because if you succeed, I'm going to know another successful person and I can be happy for it because I'm in a relationship. I need to see you win. You don't, and I'm like, you embrace that culture. And that comes from, I got a relationship. I believe in your dreams. Not to go on a
And
whole
I think
tangent.
no, relationship building is
Yeah.
super important. I'm glad that you like put it that way because
Right.
that's what it needed to be said.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, but before I know, I didn't get to say it earlier, we have to talk about it because I don't know if everybody listening knows that I know Ernestine from her political career. Because back when I was in labor, I was a political director. And the one thing that I did is I tracked the next up and coming, always looking
Oh
for
my
who was gonna
gosh.
like invest in what races, the outcomes. And my favorite thing to do was actually like looking at who are the next up and coming like Black and Brown candidates that actually could like wield force. Because in 2020, for the first time, I'm like, as a union, we gave a lot more early money into state races and played a bigger part into trying to flip the state and in 2022. And I'm like, for years I had been planning, I'm like, all right, in a few years we'll have a chance for the majority because I'd just been watching the maps and it's like, well, here's how this could go. But for that to happen, I'm like, we need people who are heroes who move. So I have to tell people, if you have not been like watching Ernestine from like the data standpoint and the voice and just like the growth of a community leader, like there's a different like I think viewpoint I have because I see the effective network, the effective passion. And when people are driven, like you take different journeys to get there, but like they go on to do amazing things. So look, keep watching because who knows? Who knows what we're about to see?
You know what?
Yeah.
I honestly I hadn't heard that particular version of the story before. I remember you were just like, "Oh, I used to work, with this organization, and I remember
Yeah.
watching your campaign, your campaign for mayor. I remember
Yeah.
you were on city council, but I don't know. I feel like I'm very humble, and I like the little old me. I'm just like, I ain't no special,
Nope.
blah, blah, blah. But
Yeah,
it's just, yeah. And I definitely miss it, but I try to stay plugged in when I can to, but I think that this is where the advocacy piece comes in. I think it's really important to at least have the conversations around, the things that are impacting us in real time, like right now. So yeah, that means a lot. Thank you. Thank you so much for
Of
thinking
course, of
that
course.
way.
And
So
then I think of it this way. I myself figured out in 2020 that my revolution looked different. I was on a path to fin I could have finished the rest of my career in labor and gone on the national and done all these things. I could have gone back to community. I could have stayed in politics. But when I watched what happened with George Floyd and I saw the spike in donation dollars and I saw all these commitments and like galvanizing, I was like, everybody did it wrong. We could have actually had a bigger movement and had bigger impact with the money that was spent if it had just been spent more strategically. So I was like, I have to do something different. And I'm like, our revolutions take different shapes as we grow through life because the experience is there. And so for someone like you and just like your background, I'm like, I already know as you figure out the different spaces you fill, you pull ahead every experience you have. And like by having your political experience, by having your nonprofit experience, there is a whole lens that you will be able to apply that no one else will know because you were doing it before this was like cool. Like, think about it. Like right now, it's super cool to be like a political influencer type, but a few years ago, it's kind of like, nah, you just really gotta love your community. And when you have that kind of
Right.
like heart work drive, it'll propel you further because then you just like, you won't quit. Like it's different when you love the community. You say, oh, well, we don't really hear no, we hear go around. That's it. You just figure out another way.
Right. So
So.
and I think that's something that, I'd really like to, continue to mentor, folks who, just like politics can be tough. It can be like emotionally draining. I know I've been prepared to take a back seat to all of it for a little bit here, because it can be a dirty place. It can be, just kind of like very in your business and just like not about the actual issues, but, that's where you have to stick it out, and that's where you have to join forces with, folks like you who are just like, hey, we all behind the scenes, we all trying to make things happen back here, so that we can really move the needle forward on important things. And I don't know, I just feel like it's too many issues out here, from like, housing insecurity to, gun violence to like just like the way that tech and the economy are interrelated more now than ever. It really is important to be able to be an advocate. And, I think it's really inspiring to know your background, Johnny, and like where you come from,
Thank you.
in community advocacy and, just being a person who, now is leading a leading voice. I started out this project months ago. I was like, who are the Black voices in tech? I'm looking to a big old giant post-it note with all these little, like, let me talk to so-and-so person. Let me talk to, so it's just, really important to be able to, have that those examples, and to really be able to see yourself making a difference in a space where you don't think there is any place for your voice. You don't think your voice would matter in that space, but it's needed. So, that's
You
powerful.
gotta repeat that again. Your voice is needed in the space.
Right. Your
The
voice is needed in the
reason
space,
for
y'all. You
change.
heard
We need
it
to
here.
hear your voice in the space. And I'm like, think about, I think the magic of community organizing that not everybody sees until you get that there. When you create a space that people feel valued, represented, and loved, you get the energy that's been like growing in Black Tech Saturdays where I don't even understand where everyone's coming. I meet so many new people who are working, people who've driven from Ann Arbor, Flint. I'm like, people have come from out of town and you go, do we really need this? But I'm like, then people come to life. Like I get messages like, I understand why I'm in where I am at work. I get this now. I see my path forward. Like it gives people a space of relief. And when you see that kind of community, I'm like, it's because it's different when you're not alone. And if we can create the space where people aren't alone,
Say
we
that
allow
again.
each other to have that voice, it's different when you're not alone.
There we
And
go.
that's what this is. You cannot do it alone. It's lonely. And I'm like, those lessons is what I share because sometimes people show up to BTS. I'm like, you can tell the energy is down. But for me, it's a re-energizer. And I see people go away and I'm like, sometimes I give people homework assignments. Like we'll talk a little bit about their company. I'm like, okay, here are the three things I was told to do at that point. go do this. I can share you my template. I can do this. I tell everyone, like, use my LinkedIn. If you see someone you need, ask me. I will connect you. I will send whatever I can to help, because I'm like, that's what other people did for me, and it's helped. And I'm like, that humble approach, like, we need somebody who's willing to say, look, I'm going to give everything I have, because if we do that with each other, it'll elevate. And every ecosystem that's successful, when you really look at it, they actually have someone who is practicing this art of giving. And I'm like, and giving as if there is abundance is created. That's how communities spiral up. That is the actual way forward. And, on a whole different podcast, we can talk about it. But I went to Afrotech, I went to Miami Art Basel, and I went to South By, in a string of all threes. To be blessed that way and do that, amazing. But when you get to be in ecosystems, talk to people from around the country, and in about 4 or 5 months, I learned from all of those people, and I felt that I was like, oh, I figured this out. I understand what we're missing in Detroit. I understand why things don't seem to make sense. I understand why I'm like, there are a lot of people who work in tech jobs that don't show up to any of the tech meetups. And I'm like, they don't see themselves there. And until we see ourselves there, we don't show up in a space. So I'm like, we have to, like, look, demonstrate what it looks like, and you'd be amazed how many people will come out and root for us to win.
Right. And I think that was something that at the last meeting, the guest speaker and Neil, one of the tech founders there, it was
Ooh,
just like,
yeah.
they were going back and forth about like how, the black folks in tech are needed, and then the folks in policy, need to hear their perspective and to know how to make things better. And those business owners, and particularly like black tech founders, I think it's really important to be able to, just kind of see those examples and then be able to push for other things. So it's like, well, this is what's facing us, and this is how we can bring more of that, just economic development. These are the jobs that are needed. These are, the folks, particularly in Detroit. It's just like, these are the industries that, we could use more folks working in. And so, yeah, all of those conversations are happening, and it's amazing, and it's needed. And so, but I just want to thank you so much for like all of the mentorship and guidance and the thoughts, and being a thought leader in this space, creating the space for the conversations to be had, in addition to just coming on the podcast and to
Course, of
like, and
course.
yes, absolutely. So,
Yes.
the podcast
Look,
is going to
wait,
be
is there anybody
available.
you would like me to challenge to be on the next podcast episode? Like, who do you want to have? Anybody that I can help with?
Oh my gosh. Oh wow. There's so many people.
Yes.
There's let's try to get Monica
Do you know Sydney
Weedhorse.
Davis
Like,
from Nixcode?
one of my friends, when I first put out this inquiry, I put out an inquiry like on social media. It was on Instagram and Facebook, and I was just like, who are the black voices in tech? And like everybody was just like, you need to talk to someone. And so I started talking to everybody. And of course, your name came up like 14 times. And but I was like, I know Johnny already. So it's just so that is one of the names, but I think that let's also, a question I wanted to ask of our political speaker who was there last time was a little bit more about like, let's create something where just the entrepreneurial ecosystem gets together, and let's create something where we can have just everybody who already works in tech, all of these voices. Let's create like a Detroit Y Combinator, and something that you can help launch these great disruptive ideas, because they are here. Not every business here is going to be a restaurant business or some sort of a service industry business. And so I just feel like we need to cultivate the innovation and the disruptors.
Look, we have to build. The way it was said to me, in the truest form for tech to work, the community actually circles around the innovators, the creators, the disruptors, and they protect them as they innovate and create. So I'm like, as you create, there needs to be this effort of, we give people the space to make mistakes and learn. And as they do that, they can share. And then you come back to this, I'm like, the interesting thing about entrepreneurship, the longer you last is really it. Like, It's not whether you can or can't. I'm like, can you last long enough to catch the traction you need to have the revenue? I'm like, it's all this measure of time, because eventually you will get there. So if we as community embrace this spirit of protecting that, I'm like, the people who have the biggest visions to go and solve the problem will get there. But sometimes we can't try to force them to solve it in a couple months because that's what they have available to them. Like, we have to give them the space and the ability to do that. And look, you'll hear it, but one of the things we're working on and like building up towards at Black Tech Saturdays, I can share it. You remember Detroit Soup and like the
Yes. So
concept?
I actually ran the
So
Harper Woods version of that, Harper
yeah,
Woods soup. Yeah.
I remember. And so I like trying to court a couple different sponsors, but I actually want to have our own regular similar. Back in 2016, I worked with a team to create something called Pitch for a Purpose, where we allow companies to, they basically applied and they took the door. And so I'm like creating that same process through digital suggested donations and like letting an entrepreneur come be in a community of people where I'm like, we don't just like grade out their pitch, but we give them feedback and we help them get to that milestone. So I'm like, whatever we can raise plus identifying a sponsor to match some of that, we can actively give someone like, when you win these pitch competitions, we get it. Because I'm like, in Detroit, you need more of that. Think about it. If you know you can like connect different programs and you have cash capital, because the hardest thing is, even when we get these programs, we're all working 9 to 5s. So you're literally splitting double duty and that's extending your time. So giving you some capital to get some of the to get what you need or to have that space to run that gap where I'm like, we do clap. We do say, hey, here's a problem we're solving as an ecosystem, and we circle the trains and like build it. Because a part of what I want to do is, I'm like, even before we get to the point of like an incubator, how do we model that idea of Ernestine has a great idea? Let's figure out what do we have to get her there? Is it an introduction? Is it a conversation? Hey, you know what? We could actually pilot it here. How do we pull you that so that way we can give you everything you need and have that support? Is it an advisor? Do you need a certain person from a company? How can one of us call? And I'm like, I want to model entrepreneurs being able to come and ask the community for what you need and having enough of the community where I'm like, a lot of my mentors are older Black males, former executives. I've been blessed to have a lot of senior talent like pouring into me. And I've been talking about, where are their networks? Where are the other 60-year-olds who they've already worked their way to the top of a corporate ladder? They've retired, they've gone on, they're investing in a bunch of other things. I'm like, I need you in the room. I need you to hear these ideas because at some point you had the same dreams, but you weren't in a position to help like you are now. So
Right.
here's an opportunity for us to reverse that. And I'm like, we can invest in ourselves and give people the space to follow. And so I'm like, I am actively working where I'm like, we're going through this first phase of building community, sharing the resources to get entrepreneurs prepared at Black Tech Saturdays. And then it's like, all right, how do we actually like invest in the honest like creation of these innovators and model it? And I'm like, doing a lot of community organizers where I'm like, we build a table of people who care enough about this and like support it to just do this and just pick a couple people. Like, all right, we got three ideas. We're gonna do some time and we're gonna circle them around community. You have an idea, Ernestine. Here's this company that'll give you a grant. Here's this. Here are the developers that you have because you've been talking on their Black Tech Saturdays. They can chart you a path to build it free. You know, ChatGPT can do coding for you. So if you have the right person, they can save you a lot of man hours. And I'm like, how do we give you that we can get you on the train and then find you a couple customers? Because I'm like, the relationships are there. And when we think of solving problems, I'm like, let's start with looking at problems that we know we have to solve. How do we support the current economy that's here? Instead of doing small business versus tech, how are we directing more traffic to our small businesses using tech? Where are all the food trucks in Detroit? Where are all the barber shops? How do we actively make these things possible where we highlight and do that? But I'm like, and to an extent, we start with first embracing our local economy and like use tech to like drive it. Cause some of us are like, it's just confusing. You can't find it all and you don't always have the time. So even when you want food, I'm like, is it on DoorDash? What are you doing to do it? And I'm like, when you do that, you make it mappable. So I'm with you, big dreams, but I am like, as I am, can I say it all the time, I believe in community, our fates are tied, which means my success is your success and your success is my success. The success of Detroit, the narrative of Michigan should be here is if we win, you win. And I'm like, that has to be how it works. And if you win, we win. Like, if the state is prospering, it means we're prospering. And if we're prospering, the state is prospering. Now, the state can't be doing great if we're not doing great. And I'm like, we can get there, but it means I'm like, we have to show it and actually give the ability to like introduce people to it because there's an appetite to do it. That's the cool part. There's a community trying to figure out how to do it. And it's just like, let's expose us to the opportunities. Let's show people what we need. And like, here, I've met so many talented people, so many people who I didn't even know was in tech. Ernestine, if you would have told me that you were in tech a year, I would have loved to have been talking to you about EvenScore early on, because when we first started, it was actually specifically a little bit more focused on political donations.
Oh, wow.
Like, think
Oh,
about how cool it would have been to just nerd out over like tech with like, and I'm like, even knowing who of us are interested in that, how do we have that community of thinkers who say, hey, look, I'm an expert in this, and you're looking at this problem. Here's how I can be a valuable resource to you, given my skills, which might not even be technical. So
and
that's like,
I think
I'm gonna
that
stop
is
my little rant here.
No, definitely not a rant
Ooh.
because I mean you're solidifying the fact that it's really important to, just kind of have those relationships. Relationship building is like everything. And then even when it comes to entrepreneurship, when it comes to tech, when it comes to, just all of the things that, we're hoping to kind of zone in on and, just kind of focus and make sure that, just we're making it all happen. So, yeah, I really want to thank you so much for coming on the show and,
Of course,
where can we find you out there? Where can we find out about Black Tech Saturdays? Tell
yeah.
all the folks like all the things.
Look, we're finalizing the edit, so soon it'll be blacktechsaturdays.com, which we will have a portal for founders to enter their information so we can better connect founders to their resources and to each other. A portal for job seekers. I've been testing this around, but I found a couple people who are like committed to hiring like local Detroit talent, and I'm trying to figure out how do we formalize a partnership where they have pipelines, because a lot of us who are interested in tech, they're not even aware of the companies. Like, there's Nation Builders here. Nation Builder wants to hire from Detroit. Most of their leadership team is here. People don't know it
I didn't
because
know
they're
that
not.
either. I'm just like Nation, but
And
I
I'm like,
know people
actually, Ernestine, thinking about you and tech, like, you might be interested in Nation Builder because you know they build apps for nonprofits and politicians and like very advocacy focused. And I'm like, there are people like them, companies there that are like, oh, we want to do this. I had a great conversation with Daniel over at StockX, and he's just like, we're realistically hiring two people a year, even just in this area. We should, there'll be two people a month because
right.
of like natural turnover. She's like, that. He's like, that's not even counting like what we'll need. And I'm like, we can make that possible. So the website will help connect that, and then just like sharing resources. And then we're creating kind of like a community calendar so everybody can add their events. Like, we'll still have to approve it, but in order to like, if you come to Black Tech Saturdays and you're part of the community, there's 7 days a week. If you're an entrepreneur and you're on a learning journey, there are different circles, there are different spaces in the ecosystem that I think everyone can benefit from.
Yeah.
Or benefit from. And I'm like, that's how you leverage the network. If you're on your path to figuring out, I'm like, surrounding yourself with other women leaders might be an avenue for you to go get different mentors. And I'm like, I want to help people paint a picture of how you find your journey. For some people, it might be these three networking circles. Some people, it might be, I'm a Wednesday and Saturday kind of person. There's Tech Tuesdays at Bamboo. And I'm like, there are different spaces
Yes.
where you can go learn and just kind of innovate. But when you're going through your creative journey, I'm like, you kind of need to surround yourself with other people. Last thing, I actually go
Yeah.
to lectures to write, to like create. So sometimes I'll go hear a lecture on something unrelated because it's the best time for me to quiet my mind and write. So I'm like, sometimes I go to other talks to sit in the back and just scribble my ideas. And I'm like, sometimes being surrounded in the energy of creation, it lets me just go. I was thinking about this other thing, and I'm like, that becomes like the background noise to me, where I'm like, you know what? I'm hearing this really cool chat. I didn't know that you could do business this way. I learned a lot about blockchain from this cool guy sitting next to him at a, and just listening to him talk. And I'm like, never understood that. He broke it down to me in like an element. And I'm like, okay, when you have people who can do that, you learn that. I'm like, some of the time is you do want to identify a room where I'm like, where can you go be yourself and naturally attract people to you by being you? So I'm like, the calendar will be a space to
There we go.
find that event and let you say, let me plan my week. Where am I gonna go? I'm on the entrepreneurship journey. It's already hard enough to figure out what's the stuff. Now you gotta find what stuff. And so I'm organizing my investor list to share, conferences I've gone to. I figured out which conferences you can get free scholarships to. So like
Like South
sharing
by
that.
Southwest, you can like get a scholarship for that.
Actually, so I'm trying to find one for South by. I know there's some people trying to sponsor it, but Google did a scholarship last year for Afrotech where they paid for travel and ticket. And I think they might have helped her with her accommodations, but even there, getting a ticket to Afrotech, getting travel, or even just getting ticket and accommodations, I'm like, they had a scholarship. I met a nice, super cool person from Canada, and she told me how. And then I'm like, does everyone know it? But then I come back to Detroit, and I've got friends who work at Google, and I look at their Facebook because I'm not on social media as much as people think I am. I'm like, I actually have a super cool mom who might like and post a lot for me, and that helps. But I see something on a friend's page and I go, Google was actively trying to recruit people from Detroit to offer them free trips to Afrotech. Had we known about that, think of how many people. I'm like, I got five people
Right.
I would have brought with me. I was
And
there.
that's the
Actually,
thing.
I
Like,
met like 15 people from Detroit and Afrotech.
this is the crazy thing
Cool.
that, like, all of this information is out there, but it exists in a silo. And so, like, it's all of these silos have to be, just broken down. And so, like,
Connected.
the information is out there for people. And I think that, all of my research has been really compiling over the past couple of months of, like, okay, who does what? Who can help who? What are the industries? And where. And where are the industries in Michigan that need the most support? Which ones are thriving? And so, like, I don't know. I feel like it's a ongoing kind of study of, like, okay, well, this is who I can point so and so to, so that we can have something similar to, we used to have something called the Biz Grid, and now we can just kind of put something new together that really shows people, like, this is how you get connected in terms of wherever your career is going. But specifically, if it's tech focused, this is where to start. So, but yeah. Okay, so that's all the new stuff going on
That
with
is
you. All right. All right. Awesome.
like,
Okay.
look, we just, like I said, just share it out, share as much as I can, make it accessible. And I'm like, look, I'm just trying to see a couple more black millionaires in Detroit, maybe a couple more black billionaires, hoping to find the next, like, black, look, the next unicorn from Michigan.
Unicorns, that's my
I want it to
language.
be a black founder so bad. I want the next unicorn out of Michigan to be a black founder, because what that would mean is the investment dollars, the knowledge, the support that we could do. And a part of why I'm clapping so loud is I'm just like, what does that look like? What does it look like for us to figure out who is it and how do we cheer them on? We had four Google for startup company or six Google for startup companies last year. I'm sure we're going to have some more this year. And I'm like, we have some founders like making some huge strides. And I'm like, we should be clapping for them to be like, we could actually like see a homegrown black billionaire grown here building tech, solving problems that are like relatable to our community. And
Right,
I'm
like
like, we
Global
gotta
Detroit's
like
own
mentor
Channing
them.
Duker. Like, shout out
What? You
to
see what I'm
like,
saying?
there we go.
There are some amazing founders. And I'm like, if we don't start stomping the ground and clapping for them, how are they gonna win? You can't win if your hometown's not rooting for you.
Right.
So, look, we root for the Lions every week. We can root for our
They don't
founders to
win.
win.
I don't even follow sports, and I know they don't win. But
See?
we can root for people who, definitely have that potential. But so
Mm-hmm.
that's this week's episode of Quick to Politic. And remember to like, comment, and subscribe if you're watching
Subscribe if you're watching.
online via the Facebook, the Instagrams, and the and YouTube. And in addition, you can stream the podcast on wherever podcast streaming is happening. I'm on Apple, Spotify, and all of the podcast places. And so, this has definitely been a great conversation with Johnny Turnage. You guys go follow him, go follow Black Tech Saturdays. And thank you guys so much. And we are out. Bye, everybody.